All right.
Acts
chapter 4 is where we're going to start. 4:32 is where we're going to start today. We're in the book of Acts. Now, the book of Acts gives us the history of the early church. It is the story of... Okay. The book of Acts is a story of what Jesus continued to do through the Holy Spirit after His ascension into heaven. So we had it bits and pieces. We've still got 20-some weeks. Y'all will get it. You'll have it down. I'll be going, yes, yes. I won't tell Second Service about you, okay? Over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at the beginning of the church, the birth of the church. The church was birthed on the day of Pentecost. That's the day that the Holy Spirit was given. It was the day that Peter stood up and he preached about Jesus. It was the day that 3,000 were added to the church. Last couple of weeks, we saw Peter and John going to the temple. And coming in, there was a man that was lame from birth, 40 years old. And he was there, a beggar, and he was looking at him as if to get something from him. Peter said, "Silver and gold have not I, but what I have I freely give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk." And the man rose up, and he started hooting and hollering and praising God, clicking his heels. I used to be able to do that. I'm old. And people came, and they looked, and they saw him healed, and Peter told them about Jesus and about the resurrection. And 3,000, the church was added, about 2,000 was added. So they had about 5,000 then. And the Sadducees, they were sad, you see, about all this stuff that was going on and people talking about Jesus and the resurrection. And so they arrested him and threw him in prison. After they came before the Sadducees, the court, the high priest, they told him, "Look, we don't want you going out and speaking in this name anymore." And they threatened them. And then they left. And they prayed, for boldness to speak of Him, of His goodness, of His grace, of the resurrection, to preach the gospel. Give me boldness to preach the gospel to this lost and dying world. And the place that they were in, the foundation shook. That's where we finished up. Today, we see into the church a little bit. We see what was going on, what was happening as the church grew. Man, today we are going to see just people filled with the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit, being moved by the Spirit. And we're going to see an outpouring of love. Because Jesus said, "The world will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." And we see this outpouring of love, of people filled with the Spirit and just loving on each other. But in the middle of this, we find hypocrisy in the church. Hypocrisy and deceit. People looking for glory for themselves. People not being real, not being true. Man, I wish that what we're going to see today was just a story. You know, just a story, just something that happened in the past. But it's not like that today. Unfortunately, we see a great contrast here between the end of Acts 4 and the beginning of Acts 5. We see contrast of love. People sold out for Jesus. People worshiping with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we see people focused on themselves. And we have that contrast in the church today. So, we see it then, we see it now. Let's look at the model, the picture of where things should be first, okay? We pick up in chapter 4, verse 32. It says, the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each one as anyone had need. Wow. This is cool. The multitude of those who believed. The multitude. We know that there are 5,000 men. But we've got a multitude. We've got men. We've got women. We've got those young folks. Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Y'all probably know that most people get saved by the age of 16. Is that correct? Is that what it is? Six by 16. Those that are getting saved. Fortunately, God doesn't care about statistics. I'm an anomaly. That's something that falls outside of the statistical bounds. Praise God. Praise God. This doesn't count teenagers. You know, I had a friend. His name is Steve. Great name. He got saved when he was 4 years old. And I'd ask him, Steve, did you really know that you needed a Savior? And he said, yeah. Doesn't count young kids. I met a young girl. She was 7 or 8 years old. And I was talking to her. And, well, how's Jesus working in your life? And I just expected just bubblegum answer, you know. Oh, he just loves me. And she said, well, I'm going to be a missionary to China. 7 or 8 years old. Here's the thing. I believed her. This young girl, filled with the Spirit, loving the Lord. I'm called to be a missionary to China. 7 or 8. doesn't count those. There was a multitude, moms and dads and kids and young people, teenagers, women, children. And this multitude of believers, they had it together, folks. Oh, did you see what she was wearing? I can't believe she came to church wearing that. What are they thinking? They were all together in one heart, one mind, the unity of the Spirit. They weren't separated, Baptists and Pentecostals, Nazarenes and Methodists, Calvary Chapelites or whatever other mutts. Ten, 15, 20,000 people just together. They were the church. They were united together. They were banded together. And it was being expressed in love. They were there and they were loving on each other. Everyone had all things in common. Hey, look, this was not dictated by anyone. It just happened. See, there were people from all over. The day of Pentecost arrived. And there were people from all over the Mediterranean area, and 3,000 got saved. And all of a sudden, people are there, and they want to know about Jesus, and brothers and sisters came alongside and they said, "We want to help you know about Jesus. I don't really want to go home yet until I find out what this is all about." Good. We want you here. And we're going to help you. And we're going to disciple you so that when you go, you can take the message with you. Well, those people needed support and they supported them. It was awesome. And no one said, look,
you got to bring it. You got to lay it at my feet.
You got to give 10%. It's not good enough, man. You got to give it all. There wasn't anyone that was saying that. See, we see these things happen. They happen in cults. They happen in cults where someone says, "Look, you give it to us and we'll distribute it." Hey, if you want to give it to us, we'll receive it and we'll distribute it. I promise. And we'll do well with it. Right now, we'll rebuild houses with it. We don't ask. This is what was happening in the early church. People were just coming and seeing the need, and they were responding to the needs of their brothers and sisters. Man, we're seeing it. We're seeing it right now. It's happening here in Biloxi, in microcosm. It's happening on the coast. What's happening here? We get these people from North Carolina. That's not bad. We had people from New York. Guys from Hawaii were here yesterday drywalling. Aloha, dude. How is that? How is that? How is that possible? This is what's happening. It's the book of Acts in real life. You are here seeing the book of Acts being lived out. Don't miss it. I've never seen anything like this. God is moving the hearts and minds of brothers and sisters to minister to others. This guy's called us a couple weeks ago. "Hey, we got a trailer.
cool. We had it parked, and I'm bummed. We got a trailer parked, and people are living in tents. We gave it away this week. It's cool. It's cool. It's a guy over at First Pres, David Brand. David Brand is hooked up with these guys in California. I can't think of San Bernardino, a Calvary Chapel. And they've got 50 good-sized trailers that they're hauling out here. Told David about this lady that we met living in a shotgun shack. We walked through looking at the mold. Well, that's where mold would grow. There was other places that mold wouldn't grow. You could see daylight. It's like, man, we got to find a place for Miss Ruth Ann. David called me Thursday. He said, hey, you need to go over and hug on Miss Ruth Ann. Go sit in her new trailer. That's Book of Acts stuff. People being moved by the Holy Spirit, seeing need and responding to that need. No one saying, hey, you got to do this. And they were responding out of love. It wasn't communism. That's always done by demand. You have to. This was done out of love. There were people who had lost their jobs because they came to Christ. There were people that lost their families, just as Jesus said would happen, because they decided to trust in Him. And they were kicked out of the Jewish community. But brothers and sisters moved with love responded to them. James says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? The Apostle John says, by this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That's what they were doing. They were just loving on each other. And that's how it was being seen. Hey man, there's a brother that needs something. Well, how do I know he's a brother? Well, if you don't go love on him, he's never going to be a brother. Just go love on him. Man, it's so easy right now to just be out there and be loving on people, sharing the love of Christ. I hear stories of people who have gone in and who are helping, and the people they're helping are crying and saying, I don't understand. Why are they doing this? Because they're moved by the Holy Spirit. They're just loving on them. But why? Because God is love. Book of Acts stuff is what we're seeing. So we're told to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer who deceives themselves. And that's what we see in the early church. And we see this guy down here in verse 36. His name's Joses. He is a doer. Verse 36, and Joses, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land. sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. I love this guy. Son of a gun. No, son of encouragement. What a great name. Barnabas. An encourager. A cheerleader. Go, team, go. Man, every time I get around Barney, he's singing this song. I love you. You love me. Not that Barney. Yeah. Yeah. But he was an encourager. He was encouraging people. When Paul comes along, you'll see Barnabas. All the other guys are going, whoa, it's Paul. Get out of here. It's Paul. Go hide. Barnabas is going, no, guys, hey, Paul, he believes. He's a believer. Come on, man. Paul, he loves the Lord now, too. Barnabas, an encourager. They changed his name. They saw what he was doing. It's interesting. Joses, he was a Levite of the country of Cyprus, and he owned land. Does this click yet to anyone? Levites weren't supposed to own any land. God was their heritage. God was their inheritance. What you doing with land, bro? He wasn't supposed to have any land. But that doesn't matter. There's a new covenant. And he heard about Jesus. And he got saved. And he started singing, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. And he did! He came and he laid it down at the apostles' feet. Man, he sold. Man, I wasn't supposed to. I wonder if he's thinking that. I wasn't supposed to have the land to begin with. Man, I'm selling it. I'm just going to give it to the Lord. I'm going to get back to being a real Levite. Serving God. Surrendering to God. Giving Him my all. So man, he sells this land in Cyprus. He wasn't supposed to live in Cyprus, by the way, either. He's supposed to live in Israel. He's a Levite. Sells the land. Yeah, guys, here it is. Barney, Barney, Barney. Yeah, people see it. What a guy. Now, we see the contrast. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Hey, cool! Ananias and Sapphira? Cool! They had some land. They sold it. And they kept a little, which was their right to do. It was their land. It was their money. No one's asking. They kept back a little and they took the rest and they laid it at the apostles' feet. Way cool! But Peter said, Ananias, Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, well, was it not in your own hand to control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Why have you lied to men? You have not lied to men, but to God. That they sold and gave, good. But there was a problem. See, Ananias came trying to act like Barney. He came trying to be something that he was. The money was his. He could do what he didn't have to bring any. It's his. It's yours. But it was the sin of hypocrisy. The sin of hypocrisy. Hypocrites. It's to put on the mask. It comes from the Greek theater. The hypocrite was the actor, the man who stood with the mask in front of his face. Acting, pretending to be something that he wasn't. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus over and over and over and over spanking religious people. He says, "Woe unto you," to religious people. Scary. Woe. Trouble is coming to you. Judgment is coming to you. He ate with sinners, drunks, thieves. Didn't spank them. But he said, woe to the religious people. He called them hypocrites. Hypocrites. Those that were pretending to be something that they weren't. He said, woe to you scribes and Pharisees. He talked to them about their giving. That when they give, he said, do not sound a trumpet before you. This is in Matthew 6, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Oh, this is exactly what Ananias was doing. And see, the Pharisees, this is what they'd do. They would blow the trumpet to give alms. Hey, there's Joe Pharisee. He's giving out money. And they would hide it in piety. Well, look, I gotta let people know that I'm giving away some coins. And everyone would be attracted to them to see what they had done. Ananias is giving. He's pretending. He's giving all. But he's holding back. Ananias was expecting to be praised. But Peter rebuked him. He tells him, you have not lied. He says, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. And then he says, you have not lied to man, but to God. Lied to the Holy Spirit, you've lied to God. The Holy Spirit is God. Anyone tells you not such a thing as a Trinity, not biblical, point it here. You've lied to the Holy Spirit, you've lied to God, one and the same. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Whoa! Is this serious stuff? Coming in, acting like he's something that he's not. Falling down dead. The young men that were there, they had to be shocked. I mean, if somebody came into church and started speaking something and all of a sudden, they're slain in the spirit? Dead? By the Holy Spirit? Really slain? Yeah, that'd be kind of scary. Ananias' wife, she pulls up in front of the church. Oh, I can't wait till I go in. Oh, Sister Sapphira, oh, we heard what you've done. Oh, it's going to be so good. Oh, praise God, bless God. It was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Hi, Peter. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead. And carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Great fear came upon the church and upon all those that heard this. It's amazing to me why did God judge this so severely? Because you know and I know that there's hypocrisy in the church today. You know it. You might have done it. Well, it was just a little lie. This was just a little lie. They gave. No one asked them to. I hear this all the time. Well, I don't want to go to church. There's too many hypocrites. Which is really the stupidest thing a person could say. Let me just clue you in here, okay? If you've said this, or if you are saying this right, you're not probably not saying it because you're here. But if you have said this, let me show you how stupid this is. I don't want to go there because there's hypocrites there. Who do you think is in hell? Bunch of hypocrites. I don't want to go to church and spend an hour with hypocrites, but I'm going to spend my entire life with them. Doesn't make sense. This is what I tell people. Okay? I don't want to go to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites there. Tell them, don't worry, we have room for one more. But God didn't think it was funny. God took it seriously. It's interesting. Why did God judge this so severely? And why doesn't He do so now? I want to answer that for you today. Unfortunately, I can't. I don't know. But there's something interesting that people point to. It's back in Joshua chapter 6 and 7. When God was doing a new work with the nation Israel. Joshua 6 and 7. They have come out of Egypt. They just got done wandering around in the wilderness for 39 years. They have just crossed the Jordan River. They wandered around because of disobedience to God. They came, they marched around Jericho. Just fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Right, walked around the town 7 days, blew the trumpet, and the walls came tumbling down. Well, you can talk about your men of Gid. Love that song. It's cool. They had this great victory in Jericho. Y'all remember, right? Y'all know this. And then they go to Van Cleef. Little podunk town. AI. Not a lot of people in AI. Okay? Go to this little town. Hey, we'll just take a few guys because it's mop-up time. They go to AI and they get whooped. They get chased away. Bunch of them killed. Joshua is on his face before the Lord. Oh, Lord, oh, God, what have we done? Why have you left us all? The Lord says, get up. Get up. There's sin in the camp, Josh. There's sin in the camp. God's going to do a new work. He told them, when you go in, hey, look, I want the Canaanites utterly destroyed. I want their stuff completely removed. Burn it or put it into my treasury. But I don't want you to touch those accursed things. But there was a guy that saw this fine Babylonian coat. Whoa, I'd look good in that. I'd be styling. And he saw some gold and he was aching to have it. Remember? What happened? The Lord said, call everybody forth. Called them forth. The lot fell on Achan. Joshua said, oh, son, tell me, why have you done this? Well, I saw it. I wanted it. Well, where is it? It's hidden in my tent. Sin, worthless. You can't use it. And so they took Achan, brought him before the elders of Israel, and they stoned him and his family. He was really Achan then. I know the great jokes. God judged that very severely. Why? Because that threatened to mess up the nation, the work that he was doing. Hypocrisy in the church threatens the church. Don't you know it? That's why people say there's so many hypocrites. I don't want to go there. It ruins the witness of God in what he's doing. And in the early church, he said, no, it's not going to happen. I wonder what would happen today if he judged us in that same way. Would we be singing, "All to Jesus I Surrender"? Or would we have to change the lyrics because we're losing our congregation every time we sing it? Hypocrisy. It ruins the witness of the church. It kills the witness of the church. What does it say here? It says that great fear came upon all of them. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. But check this out. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. Hey, they saw him from a distance, but they didn't want to come in yet. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. But they were adding still. What was happening? Those who were committed came in. Those who were curious stayed away. They stayed away. Why? Because they didn't want to get fried. Look, the Lord wants the curious to come to Him. But hypocrisy will ruin your witness. It will kill your witness. It will kill the witness of the church. But they were filled with the Spirit and people still saw God moving. So they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were healed. The apostles doing miracles, and those that were cleansed and were committed, they came. But those who were curious stood afar off looking, I'm telling you. And it was because of the hypocrisy of Ananias and Sapphira, Boris and Natasha. They're going to do it for themselves. They're going to bring glory to themselves. This gives us such contrast of people giving out of their heart and out of a love for Jesus and serving others. And then, too, serving themselves. You see this contrast? Look, we see two phrases here. The one, let's go back here into chapter 4, the phrase at the end of verse 33.
Or let's just read 33. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Grace, God's favor. God's favor. Unmerited. You can't earn it. Just God just pouring out His grace. And grace upon grace. Look at that. Now, go over here. Verse 11. So great fear came upon all the church. Where do you want to be? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but do you want your relationship with God to be in that place of fear or in that place of grace? Man, I want grace. Look, take off the mask. Stop it. You're a sinner. You're not as holy as you try to make yourself out to be, and neither am I. These guys hanging around with me, they see, oh man, this guy. He's a pastor? You don't have to impress us. You don't have to impress us. I can't save you. And check this out. You don't have to impress God because He's already impressed, because His Son went to the cross because He loves you. You. He just gets a hoot out of us. That kid, that Steve, man, he is such a dork. I wish he would stop doing that. He's just driving me nuts. I gotta go discipline him. Discipline him because why? Because I love him. God loves you. You're not going to earn His favor. It's grace. Unmerited favor. But I really, really got to act this. Stop acting. Just love God. He loves you. It's grace. It's grace. You don't have to worry. He's proven His love to you. Respond to Him in love. Respond to your brothers and sisters in love and take off the stinking mask. We don't want to play church. Look, I'm really scared right now. I'm afraid of hypocrisy. Why? Because it looks to me like God's doing a new work here. Looks to me like we're living in the book of Acts. Stop acting. We don't need to. Man, we're but dust. He knows our frame. And He still loves us. He still loves you. You don't have to act. You don't have to fake it till you make it. That's the world. That's the world's philosophy. We just need to come to Him and say, Father, look, I'm just not quite there. I know where You want me to be, but I don't want to act. I want to be real. Who did Jesus hang out with? Did He hang out with the actors? The hypocrites? He's a friend of sinners. Real people. Real people. That's where the Lord wants us to be. It's just real before Him. So, hey, if you see some of it, hypocrisy coming in, if you've been playing, let's get rid of it right now. Let's take it to the cross. Let's take it to the Lord. Let's be real, okay? Father, we come to You. And we thank You for the reality of Your grace. We thank You, Lord, that You show us in the book of Acts that there's no acting before You. Everything is laid bare before Him
for which we must steal. Before you, Lord. And so, Lord, we want to lay down our masks. We want to rip them off. They're uncomfortable. We can't breathe right while we're wearing them. They kill us, Lord. They kill our witness. Lord, we pray, God, that we could be real before you. When we were yet sinners, you died for us. Help us to not forget that, Lord, that you loved us when we were sinners and you love us now. And we didn't do anything for our salvation. We simply came, bowed before Jesus and said, Lord, forgive me of my sins and cleanse me. Well, we know that cleansing is sanctification, Lord. We know it's ongoing. So cleanse us, Lord, from the sin of hypocrisy. Lord, that you don't have to chastise us severely to have your witness going forth with purity. Lord, we ask that you'd go with us. That we wouldn't be a bunch of actors. That we'd just be a bunch of real sinners that are saved by grace. Loving you and loving your grace and mercy. And that love is being seen by others. And that when they're seeing it, they're saying, wow, that is real. That is genuine. We want to live our lives, Lord, for your glory. Without hypocrisy, without blemish, without spot or wrinkle, knowing that you're the only one that can do this work in our lives. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.